Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to LIC's FY 2023 earnings conference call. We have the senior management of LIC led by Mr. Siddhartha Mohanty, Chairperson on this call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddhartha Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mohanty.
Good morning, everyone. I am Siddhartha Mohanty, Chairperson, LIC. This is my first analyst call after assuming charge as LIC Chairperson. Starting today, I look forward to interacting with all of you on a more regular basis. On behalf of the senior management team, I warmly welcome you all to the results and performance update call of Life Insurance Corporation of India for the 12-month period ended 31st March 2023. The results and a presentation can be accessed on our website and on websites of both stock exchanges, BSE and NSE. Along with me, I have Managing Directors, Madam Mini Ayip, Mr. M. Jagannath, and Mr. Kamlesh Pandey. Senior officials of the corporation present on this call are Mr. Dinesh Pant, appointed actuary and executive director from actuarial team, Mr. Sunil Agrawal, CFO from the finance team, Mr. Ratnakar Patnaik, executive director, investment front office and chief investment officer, Mr. K. Seshagiridhar Girdhar, executive director, investment back office from investment team, Mr. R. Sudhakar, executive director, marketing and CMO, Mr. Hemant Buch, executive director, banca, Ms. Rachna Kare, executive director, CRM, policy servicing, Mr. Thiru Venkatachari, additional executive director, CRM claims, Mr. Aditya Gupta, executive director, CC, Madam Manju Baga, executive director, pension and group scheme, and Mr. Sanjay Bajaj, head investor relations. Now, moving to the key business, operational and financial highlights for the financial year 2022-23. Premium income. For the year ended 31st March 2023, we have reported a total premium income of INR 4,74,005 crore, showing a growth of 10.9% over the total premium income of INR 4,27,419 crore for the last year ending 31st March 2022. The individual new business premium income for FY 2023 was INR 58,757 crore, and for FY 2022, it was INR 54,960 crore, representing a growth of 6.91%. Renewal premium income, individual business, for FY 2023 was INR 2,34,006 crore as compared to INR 2,21,661 crore for FY 2022. The group business total premium income for FY 2023 was INR 1,81,242 crore, comprising new business premium of INR 1,73,258 crore. In comparison, for FY 2022, group business total premium income was INR 1,50,798 crore and comprised new business premium of INR 1,43,939 crore. Therefore, as you can see, the group new business premium had a growth of 20.37% during the year. Our market share by first year premium income for full year ending 31st March 2023 is 62.58% as compared to 63.25% for the year ended 31st March 2022. Further, our market share was 40.58 in individual business and 76.65 in group business for the year ending March 20, 2023. On a comparable basis, for the year ended 31st March 22, the respective market share for individual and group business were 43.77 and 76.16% respectively. Therefore, we continue to be market leaders both in individual as well as group segments. Seen on AP basis, the breakup of business is as follows. Total annualized premium equivalent for the year ended 31st March 2023 is INR 56,682 crore, which is comprised of individual AP of INR 38,667 crore and a group AP of INR 18,015 crore. Therefore, on AP basis, the individual business accounts for 68.22% and group business accounts for 31.78%. Further, individual AP, the power business accounts for INR 35,231 crore and non-power amounts to INR 3,436 crore. As you can see, our non-power share of individual AP is 8.89% and power is 91.11% for FY23. You will recall that our non-power share for year ended 31st March 22 on AP basis within the overall individual business was 7.12. However, for 9 months ending 31st December 22, the comparable non-par was 9.45%, which was 56 BPS higher than full year non-par AP share at 8.89%. We believe this marginal dip of 12-month period versus 9-month period is very specific to the customer demand characteristics during the last quarter of FY2023. Our intent nonetheless remains to stay on course of continuously and consistently building up our non-par business without ignoring the par business. Profit after tax. The profit after tax for the year ended 31st March 2023 is INR 36,397.4 crore as against INR 4,043.12 crore for the last financial year, FY22, ending March 31st, 2022. Further, I would like to explain that the current year profit has increased due to transfer of an amount of INR 27,240.75 crore net of tax pertaining to the accretion on the available solvency margin from non-par fund to shareholder account. VNB and VNB margins. Gross value of new business at INR 11,553 crore for the year ended March 31st, 2023 grew by 16.46% over the previous year when it was INR 9,920 crore for the year ended 31st March 2022. Also, the net VNB margin for the FY23 is 16.2% as compared to 15.1% for full year ended March 31st, 2022, representing 110 basis points improvement. Indian embedded value. The IEV of the corporation has been determined as 5,82,243 crore as at March 31st, 2023, as compared to 5,41,492 crore as at 31st March 2022. Therefore, the IV has grown by 7.53% on a year-on-year basis. Assets under management. Assets under management as on 31st March 2023 grew by 7.65% year-on-year to INR 43,97,205 crore as compared to 40,84,833 crore as on 31st March 2022. New product launches. Now, I would like to inform you about new product launches. In line with our strategy of increasing the proportion of non-par business, we launched 7 new non-par products during FY 2023 to cater to customer requirements, namely LIC's Bima Ratna, LIC's Dhan Sanchay, LIC's New Pension Plus, LIC's Dhan Varsha, LIC's New Tech Term, LIC's New Jeevan Amar and LIC's Jeevan Azad. Number of policies sold. During the year ended 31st March 2023, we sold 2.04 crore new policies as compared to 2.17 crore new policies in previous year ended 31st March 2022. As you can observe, while the individual new business premium increased by 6.91% during the year, number of policies declined by 5.93%. A part of this decline was also expected by us due to our management decisions on altering the structure of some products where volumes may have been high historically but were accompanied by lower persistency by number of policies. Agency workforce. As on 31st March 2023, total number of agents was 13,47,325 as compared to 13,26,432 as on 31st March 2022. Market share by number of agents as on March 31st 2023 stands at 51.26% as against 54.3% for March 2022. On number of policies sold basis, agency force sold 1,97,314 policies during the year ended 31st March 2023 as compared to 2,06,43,141 policies during the corresponding period of the last year, registering a decrease of 4.18%. Therefore, you can see that more than 96% of our policies for FY 23 were sold by our agency force. Even on premium basis, a little over 96% of NBP came from our agency channel for FY 23. During the year ended March 31st, 2023, other channels, B&AC, they contributed 1.52% by number of policies and 3.44% by new business premium. For the year ended 31st March, 2022, banker and alternate channel contributed 1.28% by number of policies and 2.92% by new business premium. This year, we collected a premium of 2020 crore via this channel as against INR of 1600 crore, registering a growth of 26.25% over last year. We continue to be ambitious within this space and will develop further plans and strategies to increase the share of banker and alternate channels within our mix over a period of time. Our management expense ratio stands at 15.53% for the year ended 31st March 2023 as compared to 14.50% for the last year. The increase was 103 basis points on year-on-year. Persistency. On premium basis, persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month for FY 23 stands at 77.09%, 69.93%, 70.05%, 63.53% and 61.8% respectively, as compared to 75.59%, 73.47%, 66.58%, 63.85% and 61% respectively for FY22. On number of policies basis, the persistency for 13th, 25th, 37th, 49th and 61st month for FY23 stand at 64.28%, 56.97%, 56.9%, 51.05% and 49.86% respectively, as compared to 63.45%, 60.70%, 54.09%, 51.90% and 49.86% respectively for FY22. Operational efficiency and digital progress. In our digital initiative through the agent-assisted Ananda app, we have completed 8,11,278 policies through this app during the year ended 31st March 23. As compared to 2,74,444 policies for the period ending 31st March 2022, thereby registering a growth of 195.61% on year-on-year basis. Claims. On the claims front, during FY23, we have processed 2,21,17,029 number of claims, which includes 2,12,08,453 maturity claims. On an amount basis, during the FY23, the maturity claims were INR 1,85,044 crore and a death claim were 23,423 crore. On a comparable basis for FY22, the maturity claims were INR 2,05,527 crore and death claims were INR 35,720 crore. Therefore, death claims are lower by 34.43% and maturity claims are lesser by 9.97% on year-on-year basis. With this, I come to end of our detailed business parameters description for the year ended 31st March 2023. Now let us proceed towards the question and answer session now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Rishabh from Grow Capital Advisors. Please go ahead. Rishabh, may I request you to unmute your line and go ahead with the question, please?
Am I audible?
Yes, now you are.
Yes. Sir, I first wanted to inquire about the IRDA monthly reported numbers on the first year premium. So we are seeing a decline month on month since in the last quarter for LIC. But in April itself, the year-on-year decline has been as high as 50%. So what is the management doing on that front to curb this decline of first year premium that we have seen continuously for the last 4 months now?
Actually, if you see for the total year, there was growth, but towards the last, there was some depletion because of various factors, you know, so many issues are there on taxation front and others. And group business particularly, actually, which contributed a substantial portion of our total premium income for 9 months, Actually, last quarter there was some setback. So that's why total premium income for that quarter was saw some negative trend. Negative. That is the main reason.
All right, sir. Thank you for that. The second question was, sir, on the conservative dividend policy that you adopted this year, I understand that there has been a significant rise in the shareholder income as well as the shareholder account fund for this year. Due to obviously a shift from, you know, distributing the entire profits to non-par shareholders, of non-par policy to the shareholder account. But still the dividend distributed this year has been quite conservative. I wanted to understand that in the presentation you have reported the yield on shareholders account as about 6.5%. Now that is not a very attractive yield if we compare to what is available to shareholders in terms of, you know, fixed deposits and other fixed income products that are there. So why not distribute a larger portion of the shareholder fund to shareholders and let them allocate that capital for themselves, because they are earning a better yield in the market right now?
I think if you look from the plain number point of view, dividend distribution, it is doubled, exactly doubled as compared to last year. And we would see that even dividend, you know, per share, if you compare with any other company, it would still be a very, very strong number. As far as dividend distribution policy of the any insurance company or for any business is there, I'm not very sure that, you know, shareholders do look for dividend returns, but ultimately they are looking for the value of the business. We see, you know, a lot of scope for growth, because as you are aware that corporation is looking into, you know, turning around to the side of the non-par business, and capital requirements will be there. Ultimately, the value will be created from the shareholder by maximization of the money that is there. Distributing higher amounts would be a situation possibly when you do not see application of that money turning into better yields on that. So for the corporation, we see that, you know, it is a high time and we are looking for growth opportunities, and in fact we are very comfortable and confident for growth. So that capital which is there, this will help, you know, buttress the support for the capital for the future growth of business, and that would be the better strategy for realization of better yields for the shareholder. Value creation will be better rather than distribution. But even from plain number figure, it is a significant increase, you know, from 1.5 per share to 3 per share. Recommended as at this stage, subject to approval of the, you know, shareholder, is a very, very good number.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Avinash Singh from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Two questions. The first one is more on your operating variances in EV walk arising out of persistency. So if I see the persistency movement, 25th month has shown a material decline while other cohorts have seen improvement. Now, net-net impact, that's a big positive number from the persistency variance. Can you help sort of a breakage that, okay, how much sort of it has benefited from the improvement in cohorts, or has it benefited some bit from this 25th month dip in persistency? So that's question one. And the second question, if you can help us understand your note 6 to your accounts, where, I mean, you have explained some close to 7,500 crore of reduction in the tax liability because of this fund bifurcation. So how that's working? Because, I mean, in the par side, even if bifurcated, I mean, the policyholder surplus is also taxed. So how this sort of a tax benefit that or reduction of tax liability of 7,500 crore emerging? That's the note 6 to your account. So these are my two questions. Thank you, sir.
Responding to your first part of it, I think when we are looking into persistency numbers, we'll have to appreciate the fact that persistency numbers as are reported for 13th month, 25th month respectively do not necessarily reflect the overall experience, you know, or exposure of a company, because what comes in the IV walk or IV, you know, unfolding is not just a 13th month or 25th month or these respective, but the overall experience of the entire portfolio. Even if you look into the first three points which are normally covered, or 13 to 61st month, you know, at least three points it is better than last year. So even from that average point of view, you can find it out that it is helping us, because persistency has improved by almost 2 to 3% in this criteria. This persistency does not necessarily reflect the current business. It reflects over the past years, right? And the greater focus is on how to build from here. I can just indicate to you that overall in the IV, you know, as it has grown from the last year to the current year, persistency has been a positive, you know, source of surplus, or if I can say, a contributor to that thing in overall basis.
Coming to your question on note number 6 on taxation, pre-bifurcation we were having a unified fund and the distribution of surplus was in the ratio of 95-5 and therefore the tax was paid on the entire 100 rupees of surplus that was generated. Post-bifurcation and in line with the tax laws, at the review of the tax laws that we conducted, the cost of bonus pertaining to the policyholders of participating segment can be considered as a tax deduction, and therefore the tax liability on that has been reduced to the extent of 7,185 crores as reported in note number 6.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Arjun from Avendus Spark. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, within the EV, how much would be the mark-to-market component that is part of the EV? If you can get the number, that would be great. The second question is that...
Arjun, sorry to interrupt you, but your audio is not very clear. Yeah. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Okay. Is it better now?
Yes.
First question is, within the overall EV, what would be the overall mark-to-market component that is sitting in the overall EV? Second question, in 9 months 23, we had disclosed net VNB margin product-wise. This time we have disclosed only gross VNB margin product-wise. So if you can get a net VNB margin for FY23 product-wise, that will be great. And then a third would be, there is an additional provision made for because of wage revision. What would be the impact on EV because of this additional wage cost that we are taking up? So this would be the three questions.
Yes. See, as a policy, you know, when LIC has gone public and, you know, declared our, you know, embedded value, we have considered, all of us are aware that we did fund bifurcation, and we are not segregating what portion is the MTM portion of it, because it is all considered as a part of the value in force business. That is the treatment we have been doing all along. So, from the sensitivities, we can understand what could be the figure, but this number is again changeable. So we are not looking into that as a, you know, separate component of MTM or other parts of it. This is being considered not as a part of adjusted net worth, but as a part of value in force of business, because we believe that this amount has actually come and emerged out of our past business and the state which was there out of it. So it has been allocated that way. So we are not considering an MTM gain basis. But yes, we can note this point that whatever embedded value growth of 7.5% has come about, it has been on top of and despite not so favorable conditions, coming from MTM side. And but we are very confident that, you know, going forward, this will be a positive contributor. And in fact, it will only be, it can be seen as a positive from the future point of view. So that was the first point. And about net margins and VNB, you know, at line of business-wise, we have been disclosing and informing about the margins on gross basis only. But at the you know, comprehensive level for the corporation, we did we do indicate net margins. Net margins in the individual sites and group sites have got realigned. As we are aware that when the benefits increase, net margins do come back. The overall strategy of the corporation is to systematic lower net business margin, but overall ultimate goal of the corporation is to add on to VNB value by amount. So that is what can be seen, that, you know, that has grown to almost 20%. So that's the way forward. And as a wage revision is actually what happens every 5 years, there is a wage revision for the employees. In the past, we have been having a, you know, method of this, that whatever the cost comes, as a prudent insurer, we tend to provide for it. We do not, you know, wait for the last moment. And but this year, because of the the firmness and clarity that we have to follow the accounting standard properly, the entire amount of, you know, this towards future provisioning has been expensed from the revenue accounts. That has been, you know, the case. As far as EV is concerned, you know, it will not have a significant effect because of a large portion of the business in the participating side, and the impact of any expensing on that side comes to the extent of 10% only. And as we amortize the cost over the future years, so it does not have significant impact on the, and that is already factored. All these actually expenses estimated from the past and expected to happen in the future in form of wage inflations are already factored in the EV anyway. And our, you know, outcomes are in line with our, you know, assumptions which are being used for the purpose of EV determination.
Thank you, sir. Those answers my question. Just one strategic question with respect to non-par business and annuity business. A, whether any improvement from the banca channel contributions that you have seen, and also your overall strategy going ahead in annuity and non-par business, if you can broadly talk about that. Yeah.
I'm Sudhakar, Executive Director of Marketing. On the annuity side, we have made some improvements in the yields in the recent past, in the last quarter. So we, going forward, we see that the annuity side will be growing. We are also training more agents into the annuity products. So I'm looking forward to higher annuities, and the same goes for non-par products also. We are actually calculating what is the percentage of agents who are selling that, and giving training inputs in such a manner, and activizing those agents in those particular products. That's why you would have also seen that the non-par savings as well as non-par protection has also grown as compared to the previous year. So this will only accelerate, our plan is to accelerate this during the course of the year. As for bank assurance, I would request Mr. Butch, leading bank assurance, to speak.
I am Maureen, this is Hemant Butch, Executive Director of Bank Assurance. As numbers you would have seen, FY23 came with a decent growth in terms of banca contribution from premium side. It was around 26%. And we are definitely not only hopeful but confident that the journey has just taken off in terms of growth story at banca. And we intend to leverage our wide network of partnership across the banks, both PSBs and otherwise. And more so outside bank, the other alternates also we would like to leverage, where we have seen in that good traction coming in FY23, and we will take it forward to FY24. The journey continues, and as we move forward, I think you will see more impressive numbers, both in terms of absolute and growth, coming from banca.
Actually, just to supplement what my colleagues have already informed, the corporation has a very clear-cut strategy. As chairperson has already, you know, briefed in the starting points also, that we do not want to tame our growth in par business, but we want to accelerate exponentially in the non-par business. If we see even the current year figure, the growth rate in the non-par segment is almost 33 to 35%, which is significantly above 12%. I'm talking in terms of AP. So clear cut, and within that, the profitable lines of business, particularly like saving products, have grown by, you know, very, very significant numbers. Now, annuity, you all know, is a very competitive market. We have taken very calibrated steps, because what we are at the end of it, you know, do not want to lose out is on the VNB value for the shareholder. So we have also revised our rate, but we have not gone to the top end of it. And we expect with interest rates settling down, you know, in fact, there will be, possibly there could be some correction. And then, you know, the volumes in the annuity segment, we are therefore expecting to go significantly this year as compared to the last year. So overall metrics is panning out in the way in which corporation is planning for.
Thank you, sir. That was very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my question. Sir, just want to understand some kind of a guidance or an outlook for fiscal 24, how you are looking at either premium growth or top-line growth, APE growth, whichever metric you're looking at. And also continuing from the previous participant's question on non-par specifically, right? Like you mentioned, we've seen good 35% growth. Can we see this particular part continue to grow? What are some of the learnings we have had since we have adopted this strategy for increasing our non-par? So what are some of those learnings which we can further enhance going forward?
So if you see, last year, 2023, we have already shown some result, and whatever commitment we made in the initial period of road shows before going to market, I think we are fulfilling that commitment. In line with that, we are fulfilling our commitment. As discussed, there is focus on non-par. Non-par share is gradually growing, but we are not sacrificing our par strength. Because agents who are selling par, they are selling par, but some new agents, new breed of particularly youngsters, we are training them, so they are also selling non-par product. And non-par mix will be gradually more in our total product basket. And we have introduced new products, as I told earlier. And a continuous training program is there for non-par product. And not only non-par as a line of business, but within non-par, which are the products which are giving high margin. That also we are focusing, as appointed actuary told, this guaranteed savings. Then thereafter annuity. Then term, health, ULIP, all those things. We are training our people, and current year, whatever growth we have already shown, I am confident we will show more growth on this segment. Margin will definitely grow as you people analyze, because whatever commitment now, we are at a 16.2% VNB margin and very first year of listing itself. So this year definitely it will also improve. So everything is in place and consciously efforts are being taken. In addition to that, I will add some digital initiative also we are taking. Digital transformation, total, not only customer onboarding, completion of policy, but all other operations also, digital intervention will be there in the current year. So this year, this is the second year of our listing. Whatever launch we launched first year, second year definitely better result will be there.
Sir, I'm trying to refresh my memory on the roadshows, but you know, there was also a commitment to stabilize market share losses, right? And then at some point of time, I know this year it didn't happen, but do you think, you know, when we look ahead, that there is a point in time where, you know, non-par clearly is growing faster, but par is growing slower. So how, when is the tipping point you think where, is it 12 months, 18 months down the line, 24 months, where you think we will be able to get that market share stabilized?
Yes. So when you say market share, my understanding is profitable market share, not market share per se. Okay. So that we have already demonstrated, and there will be growth in profitable market share. It will not be only simple number market share, big figure, optics. For optics, that is okay. That also we aspire, not that we will compromise on that. But also focus, more focus will be on profitable growth in market share.
Understood, sir. Just looking at slide 36, I know you break up your non-par and par business, specifically the non-par business, on new business premiums. I think we have been requesting this to be given in APE terms. But if you could also call out what's happening on some of the sub-segments like ULIPs, term insurance, you talked about tech term, but just want to understand at least some numbers from, maybe we can get this offline from Mr. Sanjay later, but that will be helpful to have what's happening on the sub-segments of non-par, not only non-par savings, but other non-par.
Yes. That will share, Within non-par, all product line, as I told, guaranteed saving, then annuity, then term, then health, then ULIP, all those figures will be there.
Got it, sir. Last question, sir, for me, and I can go back in the queue. When I look at the fourth quarter margins, implied net margins I'm talking about, you talked about 16.2 for the full year.
Yeah.
The fourth quarter is coming at about 19%. I'm obviously implying these numbers using quarterly AP and quarterly VNB that I have derived from 9 months minus whatever fiscal 23. So what's driving that? When I look at gross margins the way you only now disclose, there is 38% gross NBM margins for the group. So what is this product that we are writing? Is it seasonal fourth quarter? Do you think that we can sustain some of these margins that we are reporting on the group side? Thank you.
See, in group side, you know, you have rightly observed that, you know, the profitability of the group side, as is being seen for the year, full year ended March 23, is become a significant contributor. And going forward, we, you know, this is some unique strength of LIC, the group side, which will continue to contribute more. In fact, if you look into the overall group side, both the elements have contributed to overall VNB. The robust growth in AP in terms of AP, as well as growth in terms of VNB. Now, AP growth of almost, I think, 22% or so has been there. But VNB has also grown, contributed by various factors. As we'll appreciate that one, you know, the persistency experience, since it's now 2 years when we first started preparing for IPO now, we have done review of our experience analysis of the business. And the persistency experience seems to be very good, continuity and retention of policyholders. In certain lines of business, we have realigned, you know, as per the requirement of ILM tables, which have been reviewed, which also show greater longevity for the portfolio. Beyond that, you know, we have seen robust growth in AP per scheme, in most of the schemes of group business. The loss ratios post-COVID rate has come down in our group, you know, insurance protection business side. And all these metrics, persistency I already talked about, all this combination gives us greater confidence about, you know, better experience to emerge and possibly even still stronger, you know, numbers can come from this side going forward, both in terms of the contribution coming in form of AP as well as in form of margins coming here.
Thank you, sir. All the
best. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Deepika Mundra from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my questions. It's just on the embedded value change. We see that there is a significant movement in the sensitivity on the tax rate, which has come down from 24% to 11%. So what is the key driver of that? Secondly, on the operating assumption change, what is the main assumption that is being changed resulting in the positive variance of about 20 billion plus in the EV? And lastly, on the persistency improvement, how much more do you think there is to go in terms of further true-ups that could continue to drive the EV upwards? That's it. Thank you.
See, yeah, as far as sensitivity tests are there, you know, this year this sensitivity is showing impact of, you know, rate increase to 25% only. So that's a different last year. I think we had shown the sensitivity at 34%. Because there is a review on the taxation, you know, approach of the corporation also. So since IPO and as CFO was also explaining to you earlier. However, frankly speaking, taxation rate is basically just a, you know, indicator number in case the number changed by this much. Practically speaking, it will remain what is actually as per the laws. So that appears to be a very sensitive number, but does not come into play into reality that way. It's just an indicative number.
Okay. And can you talk about the operating assumption change as well as various persistency assumptions and how much scope is there for further true-up on persistency to be to drive for operating variance in the future?
Yeah, as I was explaining to you, overall from persistency aspect, we have seen that in both individual side as well as group side, the persistency improvement is there to be seen. That is the contributor for VNB margins and VNB group in this side. The corporation's focus continues to remain on a business which is, you know, strong and persistent. So, and in fact, if you look even in the 61st month persistency, we are almost on near to the top, right? And that shows, and our contracts are long term, so it means that is a unique strength for the corporation for the longer period. But we are working up around different strategies for ensuring, you know, the quality of business. What the chairperson was mentioning at the start of the speech, that not only we have launched new products with higher ticket size now, but we have also reviewed actually almost 8 products in last year. And the underlying reason for them was, you know, persistency as well as the profitability under those products. So I'm sure as the results for those, you know, changes and modifications start unfolding going forward, and the next 13-month persistency and then next to for sure the 25th month persistency and thereafter when it will be seen, they will continue to be significant and, you know, good contributors to the overall. In fact, we are taking many steps in this direction to ensure the persistency becomes the focus of not only corporation but intermediaries also, everybody. So the commission structures have also been aligned in a manner that, you know, they drive the behavior which drives for longer term persistent policy. So all those measures through operations in which the great focus is then on revival of the policies, bringing old lapsed policies into the books, sensitizing employees as well as, you know, the intermediaries, and incentivizing a behavior all across which is towards persistency. We are very confident, sure and focused that that will be, you know, contributor to overall embedded value going forward.
Okay. So just two more questions, if I may. One is on the economic variance, which is negative 17,000 crores in the EV. Could you highlight what is the contribution of the fall that we had seen in the Adani Group stocks valuation in that economic variance? Because if I remember correctly, it was about close to 40,000 crores versus your purchase price. So is that fully reflected in the economic variance? And secondly, on the unwind rate, which has increased from 4.8% odd in F22 to 7.7 in FY23, what is the key reason for such a sharp increase in the unwind rate?
See, as far as stocks are concerned, we would not like to, you know, commit on stock specification because we look into the entire portfolio in totality. We would see even when your stock you're talking about can go down and go up. We have to see the overall impact of the portfolio. Yes, overall, you know, that economic variance of what you are showing a negative entry is there because not any specific stock impact, but overall impact of the market, which is not only confined to, you know, equities, but it spends so interest rates, as we are all aware, when they go up, the MTM losses would come into play. When the interest rate will go down, this will give us the positive fillip. But this individual item of economic variance is not just to be seen in isolation. It should also be seen in conjunction with the unwind that is coming from RFR and, you know, variances in operating expenses. So overall, that would be something around 30,000 crores plus. So this is, in a way, on the high side, this is a factor which is possibly when the markets take up, then, you know, it will be a positive contributor going forward.
Okay, so movement in RFR was plus 30,000 in the economic variance, is it?
Yeah, movement in RFR was around, you know, 20,000 plus, and then there is an unwind which also happens beyond the actual experience, you know, which comes. So, see, it was definitely, you know, on one side, in the fixed security side, when you will have your actual returns are better, they unwind in the form of, you know, RFR and on top of that, actual experience. On the other side, as operating economic variances, and they would hit your MTM. So it's a balancing effect which has to be considered. So both all these entries have to be considered together.
Okay. And so last, could you comment on the unwind rate increase?
Unwind rate increase is there for you to see around 12% or so, right? So that is coming through, as I was explaining, through RFR, you know, contribution, because RFR for the larger part of the curve, if you would see, except I think between 4 to 20th year, RFR has been on the higher side as compared to the previous year, so that's a positive contributor. And then our returns have been much better than RFR, so that has also been contributor for this thing. And then this MTM has been the negative contributor, but we have got from other, you know, operating assumptions have contributed positively towards, you know, making this IV move by 7.5% from the past of 541 to 582 level.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anuj Singla from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Mr. Mohanty talked about some alteration of the structure of some products which have led to the growth slowdown in the second half of the year. Can you elaborate on that? What were these changes?
No, I don't know. We talked about PNGS business was not there in last quarter. So that's why premium was depleted. Individual-wise, there is growth. Individual premiums showed good growth during last quarter, particularly in March.
Sir, in addition to that, actually what was being talked about is that VNB's business has grown, but certain products, you know, in order to remain competitive in the market, like annuities in particular, right, we have to remain competitive in the market. We realize the starting point is very high VNB margin, but as we compete in the market, we have to improve benefits. Improvement in benefits resulted into reduction in the VNB margin. The corporation strategy, sir, what was Chairperson was talking about is, on the balance of, you know, the achieving growth in VNB, we have to ensure that the growth in AP is more than the reduction in any VNB, so that the ultimate delivery in form of VNB value keeps on growing up. So that the strategy is a very conscious strategy. We have taken a very calibrated approach. Actually, we have not been driven by just competitive reasons. We have taken a very balanced view so that when VNB reduction happens because of benefit increase, it should be balanced out by AP growth, and that is what is coming in the outcomes when we see the VNB growing from 15.1 to 16.2 level. That's what they are.
But this repricing, if I understood correctly, this happened in the Jan to March quarter, right? The full impact of that will be visible only in FY24.
Right. It happened in the previous quarter also. There was two revisions of annuity in the last year. Right.
Okay. So I think this will again maybe coincide with the second question. So when I look at the VNB margin for the non-PAR, it has declined significantly, the gross VNB margin, which you declared in the presentation, in FY23 versus FY22. Is this the prime reason for that?
Yeah, one of the reasons would be there, that VNB margins would decrease, but then as long as, so that is one of the contributors, you're right, that, you know, in the individual side, because as and when the benefits will be increased, VNB margins will come down. But still, you know, on the specific segments in which we want to focus, like saving, in fact, in certain lines, VNB margins has improved also. You know, at times by increasing benefits also, it can be balanced by different other factors. VNB margins can still be sustained. So we are still at good VNB margins levels in annuities, in savings side, as well as, you know, in ULIP side, it is also seen uptick because the focus at certain line of business is increasing the ticket size of the policies also. So if the ticket size also improves, that also helps, you know, VNB margins. So it's a combination of different factors. That will go so that overall, you know, direction of VNB growth is achieved and maintained.
Okay, got it. So given this background, then how do we look at the growth trajectory? So obviously we are prioritizing growth over profitability at this point. It looks like that for FY24. How does the growth and the profitability outlook look versus FY22? Oh, FY23.
I told profitable growth, not the growth of our profitability. So profitable growth is our objective. So accordingly, we'll plan all product line which are giving good margin, those are to be promoted. And PAR will never compromise on PAR because that is our strength, agents are selling. So it will be a mixed strategy so that ultimately at the end of the year, we create value for all our stakeholders. That is the objective.
Okay. Any numbers we are targeting, sir, in terms of growth and on the VNB margin versus the base of FY23?
The only thing which we can say is we are looking up for an upward trajectory and, you know, it should be better than what we have done in the past. That is what we will always aspire for. How better, we'll share with you when it comes to.
Got it. And lastly, sir, can you quantify maybe or what you're seeing on the grind on the ground, the impact of the recent tax changes on the higher ticket size? What kind of impact do you see in the next year and maybe in the month of April, if you can just share your thoughts on that?
I can only give you a small analysis of the business which we did last year and what we feel is the impact. In number of policies, it is 0.04%. And in the total premium, if you look at those who have paid or those customers who are paying more than 5 lakhs, it is about 3.5%. And by tweaking our products as well as the marketing strategy, this impact in the next year we can easily make up through other products and other type lines of business.
And what will be the same impact for VNB, sir, for last year? For the same ticket size, you mentioned 3.5% in terms of
That will see ultimately, you know, most of these large market size policies for us have been in the participating business. So that will not have significant impact. But again, you know, we need to appreciate that insurance industry, this is not the first challenge which has come before it. Sometimes challenges become the opportunities. As a corporation, we are looking for this as an opportunity through, you know, variation in a marketing strategy, as well as, you know, product specific features also we'll try to ensure to come in the way so that we can convert this challenge into opportunity and still deliver for whatever customers are expecting. We do not expect it to be any significant, you know, adversarial thing, but rather we will try to look at it as a positive thing through which we can expand more and reach out to greater number of people, as well as, you know, try to deliver products which can address the concern and issues of the, you know, needs of the customers.
Got it. So just last one, one clarification. You mentioned that some of the products which had lower persistency, you discontinued that. Did I hear that right?
So as of now, what we have done is we have modified those products. We have addressed, because you see, as far as design issues were there, we still believe that they are very good to cater to the needs of the segment. What we have done is modified, you know, the features or the pricing or the, you know, minimum, actually at minimum sum assured levels or minimum ticket size levels, they were giving low margins. So we have tried to address in a manner so that we continue to deliver those needs which are being addressed by this product and not done away with them. At some places we have done away with few products also, but largely what we have tried to do, we have tried to modify these products and make them, you know, viable and happening. And some places where we found like in health product it was not viable, we have come out with the new products also.
And you mentioned this number as 9?
8 products were modified last year.
8 products. Okay, got it. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next question is from Rano Supratim Datta from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity. So I'll start off with on the group side. So could you give me the split between the group fund and the
Supratim,
group protection?
Supratim, sorry to interrupt you, but your audio is not coming clear.
Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah, so I'll start off on the group side. So just wanted to understand what is the split between the group fund and the group protection business. Also on the group side, the margin between 9 months FY22 and full year FY23 has moved by around 500 basis points. So just wanted to understand what happened in the quarter which pushed the margins up. That would be my first question.
See, the significant portion of the group business is in the fund-based scheme. Less than, I would guess, less than 10% would be the participation from the product side. Around 7.3% by AP would be there. 7 to 8% would be there by AP in the production side. And that gives a lot of scope for us to grow there. As far as the point you mentioned about the change in VNB, I thought I already, you know, talked about it. The combination of various factors, including, you know, better persistency in these schemes you know, adjustment to the new mortality tables, better experience analysis, the age profiling of the customers, including the fund schemes which are expected to last there, improvement in the ticket size, means AP per scheme, AP per member, all these have contributed to us. On top of that, also the RFR, you know, which is used for valuation. All those things have contributed, and we have unlocked the value there in a manner which is based on our experience analysis for this segment.
Got it. So you expect that the group business across margins to hold at 22% levels or expand from here? That would be the right assumption?
Yeah.
Okay. Just on the VNB walk, you know, you have mentioned that there has been a 90 basis point impact from impact of product benefits. Just wanted to understand what that.
So that is actually what we are talking about. 90 basis point is what we discussed just now. Was, you know, when the benefits have been changed, annuity rates have been revised, right? So that has reduced the VNB margins in this product. So this is the overall impact of change in product benefits. Product benefits overall for the corporation brought down the VNB margins, not necessarily the VNB to that extent, but VNB margins to the extent of this amount which is shown in the EV walk, VNB walk. improvement in benefits resulting into reduction in margin.
Got it. And so that brings me to my next question. So do you see, think that, there is scope to grow the AP further by reducing the margin more on the non-par side? Because you are on the gross margin side, you are sitting at around 70%. So there could be scope to still reduce. Overall, you'll still have a higher margin. So is that something that you'll still consider in FY24?
Yes. We have to remain open and we are open to that thing. But our, overall focus is that the reduction in VNB margin should get compensated by increase in AP growth. That may not necessarily happen all the time, because at times it takes little time for that to happen. So suppose you immediately reduce your VNB margins, and from the next day expecting that, AP growth will come about, and that way things don't pan out in that manner. So sometimes we'll have to be patient with it, and we'll have to test it. But ultimately, as we are also concerned about profitable market share, which was talked about, that strategy will continue to be there. So we are taking very calibrated strategy there, that, to what level we bring down the VNB margins without compromising on the ultimate goal of VNB. So that strategy will always be there in a competitive scenario.
Got it. And last question from my side. In the EV walk, so operating experience variance, expenses, there is a negative entry of around 1,000 crores. So just wanted to understand what is contributing to this negative impact, given, you have been talking about putting in place various initiatives to improve efficiency, cost efficiency.
So that's only what factors have been inbuilt, actually. There is a little prudent side of it. So inflation, we have taken the prudent side of, based on the past experience, one element of that is the inflation side of it. Going forward, I think it will also, be a contributor, hopefully, in this side. Plus also, this factor which we are talking about, non-operating variances, also includes the outcomes of TV fog, right? It's a trustworthy option and guaranteed. So that is dependent upon the market scenarios which are there. So that is also a contributor to that. So these things, will continue, are showing a slight, negative on that thing, which is in the expected lines.
Got it. Thank you.
If you're talking about the expenses on the top side of our 1,000 crores or so, that is largely on account of one-time expenses which I have briefed earlier, on account of wage revisions. Wage revisions related provisions, not wage revisions actually.
Thank you. A request to all the participants, please restrict to 2 questions per participant. If time permits, please come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Akshay Tiwari from Religa Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah,
I hope I'm audible.
Yes, actually.
Thank you for taking my question. So, sir, in this quarter around, we saw a dip in the single premium growth, which is quite contrary to what we saw for other life insurance companies. So, just wanted to understand what is the reason for decline in single premium income, and also with regards to bank assurance channel, any major partnership have we taken with any major banks as such? Thank you.
So in this quarter, especially in the month of March, the focus was more on the 5 lakh plus customers who are wanting to avail the 1010D benefit. So more or less that the whole agency force, when it moves as a herd. So overall, I would say Jeevan Shanti is one where there was significant growth, which is a single premium. And the other part is, I think, on the basis of the group life, where the overall total premiums would have come in the quarter of March.
Okay.
Yeah, coming to the banker side, some initiations were made during Q4 and particularly Q4 March. In Q4, as such, we did not sign up any new agreement with any of the partners. But in the current quarter, we have already signed up one, and we are expecting 3 or more partnerships to be signed. And carefully and gradually, in fact, we'll look out for more number of partnerships. But we already have sufficient partnerships where we are not in a position to leverage the strength fully. So it's a combination of, in fact, 2 strategies. One is carefully partnering with new players or maybe looking out for new partnerships. But at the same time, the vast network which is already available to us, leverage them, in fact, carefully, gradually, and to the fullest possible extent, to fuel growth. So we are definitely looking out for opportunities. We have signed up with one, two more are in pipeline, and maybe another two will be materializing towards, in fact, Q1 end or maybe beginning of Q2. So we will continue on that strategy, but then more focused on leveraging the existing network, which is in fact very significant.
Okay, thank you, sir. Also, are we doing anything with regards to the direct channel? As direct channel has more margins, so any steps taken towards increasing direct channel in the distribution mix?
Actually, digital, we have our digital marketing channel, and this year some big intervention will be there for promoting digital marketing. So now share of digital marketing is very, very minuscule, negligible, below 1%. But current year, through some tech intervention, there will be some uptick from this channel.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ajox Frederick from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I have two questions. One is on the health side. What is the persistency of health business? On the number of policies possible.
Yeah. See, the health business persistency was lower than our usual business. That was a cause of concern. So in the current year, that is the reason we are currently offering two products in health. One is fixed benefit, Jeevan Arogya, another is cancer product. So what we have done is we have modified these two products again, and now we are expecting the persistency to be much better than, you know, average on this thing, because we have changed and modified these products.
All right, sir. I mean, by modification, you have reduced the premium or
what we are trying to, you know, see that at the lower ticket size, you know, that's a general experience. Persistency rates are lower as the sum assured is higher. So we are trying to address wherever based on the persistency experience, whichever were the pain points, we have tried to address those places, so that, you know, we can get a better persistency within those products. So typically, either sum assured has been increased, and slight, increase in premium could be possible, but that which should be still be affordable to everybody. And lastly, fine-tuning the places from wherever, or sometimes it can be through modes. Certain modes of payments give you, you know, worse experience of persistency. So addressing whichever were the pain points there, so we try to modify.
Okay. And so one more question on the productivity of new agents, particularly 18 to 30. I think overall your agents are doing roughly 13 to 14 policies a year.
Yeah.
So what is the productivity of new agents? I'm trying to understand how far they can scale.
Now, the new agents productivity will be on the lower side when we look at the average, because we have the productivity of 16, what you see is thanks to also our club member agents whose productivity is in the range of 30 plus. So we have about 2 lakh club member agents who are professionals and whose overall persistency is better than 85% on the whole portfolio. So they bring the maximum number of policies per agent. So the new agents' productivity will be lesser than that, but as and when they become senior and they get they become more experienced, then the productivity will increase.
Got it. Thank you, Steph. All those.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we'll take that as the last question. Please note, the management will answer the questions later for the participants who are still in the queue. With this, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Siddhartha Mohanty for closing comments.
I would thank all our friends from analyst and investor community. We learn a lot about how you see the business as we take steps into the early part of FY24. I would like to reiterate that as LIC, we are committed to create superior value proposition for all our stakeholders. I am sure you will appreciate that despite being a large player, we could achieve FYPI growth of 16.67% for FY23. Now it is incumbent upon us as management to keep refining our product and channel mix including use of cutting-edge technology and digital intervention, so that we can accelerate the pace of our directional movement. We will keep coming back to you with updates in future at a regular interval. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. On behalf of LIC, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.